with doubtless and to life, keep the commandments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When the pagans were leading St. Pionius to the place of martyrdom, they were surprised to see the joy that lighted up his countenance, and how eagerly he ran towards the place of his death. "What makes you so happy?" they asked him, "and why do you run forward with so much eagerness to death?" "You are mistaken," answered the martyr. "I am not going to die. I am about to begin a life that will never end. I am not going to die. I am about to begin a life that will never end. Heaven is a life which will never end. And Jesus Christ, our divine Redeemer, came to this earth, became a man to suffer for us and to redeem us, in order that the gates of heaven, which were closed for mankind since the fall of Adam and Eve, be opened again for us, and in order that we can go after this life on this earth to heaven, our true home. Therefore Jesus Christ said, 'In my Father's house there are many mansions. If not, I would have told you, because I go to prepare a place for you.' What must we do in order to reach heaven?" A sister of St. Thomas Aquinas, being very solicitous for her salvation, one day asked her brother the following question: "Dear brother, what must I do in order to go to heaven?" "My sister," replied the saint, "if you wish to get to go to heaven, you must will it." But do we really have this earnest desire to go to heaven? And do we take the necessary means to obtain heaven? Are we absolutely convinced about that the only purpose of this life is to go to heaven? On the first page of our catechism, we learn, "Why did God make me?" And the answer is, "God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him in the next." But man has forgotten this essential truth. The problem of modern man is that he has forgotten the purpose of his life on this earth. That is to say, he has forgotten his end for which he was created, namely heaven. Don't make a mistake. The only purpose of our life on this earth is not to become rich so much as we can, or that we receive honors, dignities, and powers, or that we enjoy the pleasures of life as much as we can, but that we do the will of God, and that after this life we go to heaven. The first question of our catechism: why did God make me? And the answer: God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in the next. This question seemed enough when we first heard them.
when we memorize them.
But as years wore on, we discovered many times that the fulfillment of our life mission, according to God's design, is fraught with many difficulties. Since the fall of our first parents, our Lord Himself tells us that the road to eternity is narrow, rough, and rugged. But as aid to the weary traveler along this narrow, rough, and rugged path, our Lord has set signposts to us, the Ten Commandments of God. Our principal duty towards God, our neighbor, and ourselves are summed up in the Ten Commandments given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments are, for many, just a fable, and for others, not to be taken too seriously. And so many times broken by us. But they are God's signposts for us. Nevertheless, we hold firmly as true what sacred scripture records. In the third month after the Israelites had left Egypt, they arrived near Mount Sinai. God called Moses and told him he would appear to the people. On the third day, there was thunder and lightning and the sound of a trumpet. Moses took the Israelites to the foot of the mountain. The trumpet blew louder. Then God spoke from the clouds. But the Israelites were afraid and begged Moses to pray God not to speak to them. Moses went up to the Mount Sinai to talk with God. God gave him the tablets of stone on which were carved the Ten Commandments. He gave the two tablets. We see on the first tablet three commandments which give us the rules regarding God. God wrote on the tablet, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember, thou keep holy the Lord's day. And if God would have given only the first three commandments, many of us would be saints. But there is the other tablet on which God wrote, honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. We must obey the Ten Commandments of God because God has imprinted the substance of the Ten Commandments in the human heart and mind, and they have therefore binding force. Even if they had never been revealed, we should still be obliged to keep them, for they are dictated by reason and taught by the natural law. And the revealed law of the Ten Commandments merely repeats and amplifies the natural law. We must keep all the commandments. St. James writes, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law, but offend in one point, is become guilty of all." Those Christians deceive themselves who imagine that God will be lenient with them because they do not break all the commandments, but only one or the other. Look down into hell and tell me who are burning there. Perhaps such as have violated all the commandments? No, of these there are but few. Most of them are damned because they have transgressed only this or that commandment. Why is Cain damned? Because he violated the fifth commandment. Why is Absalom in the Old Testament damned? Because he broke the fourth commandment. And why are the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah damned? Because they transgressed the sixth commandment. Let us examine our conscience this coming Lent and ask ourselves, how is it with me? Is it possible to keep the commandments? It is an article of faith that of ourselves, with our own strength, without the help of divine grace, we can do nothing towards our salvation. Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. Depending on our own strength alone, we cannot keep the commandments. But assisted by the grace of God, which God doesn't refuse to anybody, we can keep them. And sacred scripture mentions many who kept the law. Thus sacred scripture testifies of Noah, that he was a just and perfect man and walked with God. Sacred scripture testifies of Job, that he feared God and avoided evil. Of Joshua, that he left not one thing undone of all the commandments of God. And of Zachary and Elizabeth, that they were both just before God, walking in all the commandments of the Lord. And how many saints does the Catholic Church number who kept all the commandments of God with the most scrupulous fidelity and did lead a life so morally pure that they seem to be more angels than men? If we only think of Saint Bernard, Saint Aloysius, Saint Theresia, of whom we know that during their life they hardly committed any venial sin, much less mortal sin. These and all other saints prove that we can keep the Ten Commandments of God if we want to do so. They had the same nature than we have. They had the same temptations and perhaps far greater ones than we have. And most of them did not receive greater graces than we. If they could serve God and keep His law, why cannot we? We can keep the law of God if we only have
an earnest will to do so. And we must keep the commandments of God because God commands it, and because our salvation, our going to heaven after this life, depends on it. God does not lay too heavy a load upon us. With the assistance of His grace, we can do what He requires. Let us keep and do the things which the Lord God has commanded us. Let us go neither to the right hand nor to the left, that we may live, and that it may be well with us, and that hereafter we may enter into the joy of the Lord. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.